Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. Hi, Colin. How's tricks?
Good, thank you. Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Good.
Considering.
Yeah, considering the markets and the current times we're in, it's a very interesting time. Let's just call it that without being too negative. So obviously, since we last talked, there was the Bush Ranger project, the results of the scoping metallurgical test work program. Do you want to just talk us through those findings?
Yeah, well, let's stop and see where we're at. I'm pleased to say phase two, we have all the results in now from phase two. And phase two was a mammoth program for a junior mining company. And we've completed a stack of work in short time. I don't think the majors would have done what we've done in that particular time. And it's over to good management over in Australia. It's over to an outstanding driller, drilling team. Good performance and good liaison all round. So, you know, we've ended drilling the best part of 35,000 meters of drilling. We've conducted major geophysical surveys. We've completed the MET test work, and we're now cranking up the, I think that's the term the geologists use, so I'll use the same one, cranking up the model for the resource statement. Got a good idea what it will say, and we're made the decision to model race course to its finality and put it in for conceptual study, and more than conceptual study this time, of course, because there's, as I've just said, you know, the underlying information we've got makes it a much, much, much more accurate study, better foundation study than the ones we did in the at the end of phase one. But let's go back now and reiterate just a little bit. The new geophysics, what did that achieve? Well, certainly told us we're in the right place. And what it has done is opened up and identified, the wrong word isn't opened up, has identified two new big areas. It's identified significantly that there could be a fault up in the north, possibly northeast, and we start again, race course starts again. So that's very encouraging. The MET test work, no shocks, no surprises, pretty typical for the district. You might say, why did you do that? Because you can't put any credence on a study where you haven't done test work on the material that you intend to work. So, like it or not, we really had to do it. We've had a resource model for about since May, but obviously as the results come in, one reworks it. And then we drilled a few holes because the resource model showed us that there were actually gaps where we were relying too much on one or more boreholes, hanging too much tons and too much grade on. So we had to fill in a couple of gaps, and that's what's taken us the extra couple of months, because we decided in May, and the resource statement is the reliability veracity in the southwest was not an high enough standard in an important area. No, the word's not standard, of an high enough the borehole density and the cregen and the variogram, quite frankly, was suspect, and one had to fill in what was a very large gap. And that we did with some more boreholes. So that pushed us out a bit in time, but I think we've lost about 2 months. So where are we? We've whilst all that's being done, and it's being done this minute, you know, they're on with it. We've decided that race course is much bigger than we ever expected to be. It is better to, in actual fact, model race course and get to this decision to mine. We know, or we think we know, the race course, the model will tell us when we've done it, that we've got some indicated resources as well, which will be very good for race course. And so we've got all the parameters there. We'll commence our modelling, and I expect a result by in the not too distant future. So on that basis, we decided not to go chasing those huge targets. We know. The market will know. But more important, I think, this time is the trade will know that probably our area of the Lachlan Fold is probably the biggest, next to Cadia Ridge, I guess, next to Cadia Ridge, because Cadia Ridge has already proved itself, but it's massive. And this geophysics, you know, we've got the signature, we've got the background, we've got the history. So, you know, any new geophysics basically is much more reliable than it might have been on virgin ground, which had never been tested, and mines hadn't existed before, and we really didn't know what the signature meant. For example, you know, with our geophysics, you don't drill the bullseye. It's on the periphery of the bullseye. You're looking for, you look at, and then we did the magnetic susceptibility, you know, with the drone. That assisted us a lot too. So we in actual fact know that we have to be on the margins to get the ore, to identify the porphyry. So phase two finished. I don't think the shareholders would give me a pat on the back if we said we were going to do a phase three and go and test those great big anomalies. They're there as in our sweetie bag in our box. There is very good targets, much the same, possibly different, you know, in gold. Who knows? Probably more copper than gold, more gold than copper. Who knows? But we feel that to test those is prolonging the issue. Race course stands alone. We're pretty sure of that. And we're going to do the, you know, we're going to get on with the modeling.
Yeah.
So summarize, done every bit of test work necessary for the conceptual study to be done. The conceptual study, remember, we're not starting at ground zero. We, in actual fact, have got a conceptual study. What we're doing now is we've got figures of what we can rely on. We've generated an ore resource. We've generated metallurgical test work. We've generated all of the information required for them to do the study. So that's what we're busy doing now. And Kevin and you know, Phil, you want to beat me up for no news, but the reality is that this, quite frankly, now, whichever way you look at the Bushranger project, is number crunching.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say a lot while you're number crunching, because you've got to crunch the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, would it be safe to say that as the more test work goes on and the more proving up you're doing, that you're confident that you've got a world-class porphyry on your hands here in Bushranger?
Oh, yeah. I think that goes without doubt. Yeah. I think we knew that. Well, we certainly didn't know it at the end of phase one. But the more we go along, getting, you know, extend. I think when Racecourse grew and grew and grew, we got very confident with that as a subject. But also when we got to understand the geophysics, and the last round of geophysics produced even more potential, either disconnect by way of a fault or all new anomalies, we knew then that this system was very, very big. And I think it's one of the biggest in the... It probably, as I say, you know, it's competing there at the top in the Lachlan Fold. So, yes, it's certainly world-class. And the Racecourse mine is a very good starter. And it's got the benefit because instead of being a deep, steeply dipping porphyry, it's an inclined porphyry. And a lot of the ground is less than 600 meters. So we can make a huge pit with an I-grade component for the first few years. So we're looking forward to what the model tells us. No doubts about it. It's been very successful. It's been fraught to have to drill 35,000 meters as a junior, just something that you don't hear of very often. But we've done it. We've done it, guys. We now got to model the outcome and get on with taking race course up a notch to satisfy, as you know, the terms of that exit, of would-be buyer. Should they would choose to get involved with Racecourse, or alternatively open up the project to the global market. When I say the project, I'm talking Bushranger, not Racecourse. We open up the entire all of the licenses. So we're in a good, very good position, and it's important that for our shareholders, I think it's extremely important for management that we identify that, you know, we basically got to the crossroads. Do we do more drilling in those big anomalies, and of course we'll get to the 2 million, or do we in actual fact say, well, Racecourse is big enough, it's certainly big resource, we're probably talking about 20 million tons for 25 years or 25 million tons for 20 years. That's a big mine by anybody's standards. We're talking about acceptable stripping rates and all that good stuff. So yes, we are where we are. We're at the right junction. We've got a world-class situation. And we're taking strategic and tactical decisions by taking Racecourse forward.
So you expect that you will then make a decision to mine, and that will then facilitate the process?
That basically will facilitate the process. Once we've made the decision to mine, that's exactly what we'll do. I mean, let's face it. I mean, everybody's got their hands in, you know, we started off this discussion by the world state. You know, I mean, you may think I'm suffering from a pretty serious hangover, but I'm as confident on the copper price next year than I've been for the last 3 years. I keep going on and on about the copper price. You know, only on Bloomberg the other night, Freeport announced that they're selling every scrap of copper they can produce. London Metal Inventories, have a take London Copper, London Metal Exchange Copper Inventories, have a look at those. China's trying to keep this this copper price down, and they're not being that successful. At 7.6, look back 10 years and see where 7.6 sits in the grand scheme of things. So they're not going to keep the price down. We're quite happy with this situation. We're quite happy with copper all across our portfolios, what we're doing here, there, and everywhere. So it's upwards and onwards.
Good. So tell us a little bit about all this gold that's pouring into Extract at the minute. Huh. Yeah, we have a 28 million pound market capitalization, and it seems like there's literally millions of pounds worth of gold pouring into it over the next 12 months. So tell us what that's all about.
Well, where we sit now, in February, as everyone knows, has started up. We didn't make a big song and dance about it starting up because I know there was a level of disappointment in our shareholders. And, of course, with us as well and everybody concerned. And in the time, I'm not going into a great dissertation about COVID and the problems and border posts being closed and all that. The fact is it was late. And I apologize sincerely for that. But it's going, and it started up 6 weeks ago, and it's producing gold. But remember, you know, we're in that period now where we're working the alluvials and the weathered material. We get a gold pour about every 12 days, which is good. We're learning how to, you know, much bigger volumes, of course, than we do in the alluvials. So the actual business of pouring gold is quite a business. The lockup will continue for a few weeks yet, I think, because gold has got a way of finding every nook and cranny and locking itself up in the circuit when you start these process plants. And there's quite a nugget effect in our ore body. So, you know, the big pieces will certainly lock themselves up in the ball mill and other places. So, but we're pouring gold now on a regular basis. We're getting into the nitty-gritty now. Let's call it the nitty-gritty of, mine planning, grade control procedures, stockpiling, low-level, low-grade, medium-grade, high-grade, blending, as I say, some of the screens rerouting material, you know, and making sure we get the best use of every item of plant that we've got there. And it is a sophisticated plant, very sophisticated in that part of the world. And our partners should be very proud of it. And as partners to our partners, we're very proud of it. So they've done a good job. So in essence, Fairbride is up and running and producing. When we get to the hard rock, of course, that's when we're producing more and more. Gold price slipped off a bit, but it's still a very, very good price. As we all know, one goes back again in history, it's still a very good price. And there's enough geopolitical tension and financial tension in the world for that to be a moving feast backwards and forwards as well. So yes, thank God, Fairbride's going. I think we're about 6 weeks into it. Time flies, so maybe even 2 months. But yes, we're pouring gold every 12 days, a couple of bars, around about between 8 and 12 kilos. So, look, you know, and building up. But we've got to move the alluvials and the weathered material to get at the ore body. And as I say, we're doing all that nitty-gritty stuff now, what makes a project into a mine, and the disciplines and the, you know, that one has to employ in a day-to-day mine is quite different from a project. You know, it's very, very bugs. You know, you really have got to set a protocol for grade control, and every operation is unique. And that's what we're in the middle of doing. Our own alluvials are going good. Last month was particularly good. So again, we're generating income from there. So apart from the imminent rains, we've learned how to manage them as well. We've learned how to manage them, especially in the alluvials, as we've gone along in lifetime. So very pleased with what's happening in Mozambique. So when you look at us, pretty rounded company, moving towards a conceptual, it's nearer a scoping study now for race course. Loads of big targets identified, as you use the word, sitting on a world-class ore body, deciding to work a portion of it, and a new gold mine, which come into production. We've got a 23% share, which has got a targeted production rate of between 80 and 100 kilograms a month. And our own alluvials, they're going to last another 6 months to a year. So not a bad place to be, except, of course, it's very, very difficult to excite anyone, Kevin, Phil. It's really difficult to excite anyone about future prospects when today is so... I guess we're all a little bit fatigued, but I'm confident we'll come out of this, and we'll come out of it in October, November. The markets will, and they'll be like I often say, being the old man I am, that you know, when you start talking to about 5% to me, interest rates, I don't really get very worried. When I can remember, a period not that long ago when people were just sticking their keys to the house to the bank or the building society box, because they were looking down the face of 15 to 17%. That's what I call. That's what I call.
Handing the houses back to the banks, weren't they?
Giving them back, absolutely giving them back. Zero negative equity, but you know, it was sort of, it was basically a terrible time. So you know, history has said that you've actually sometimes got to step back and look at all this. That the cost of money has been so cheap. The cost of money for these last few years that it, you know, the bubble had to burst. And if anybody believes that a PE ratio in some of the American companies of 57 to 1 makes sense, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
If a correction wasn't long overdue, a correction was long overdue. The only thing what I can't see, and is the disconnect. We've never tracked the majors, but they're enjoying not too bad times, thank you very much. Obviously, they're slipping off with the copper price. But you look at the nickel prices up at 23, 24 again. Look at zinc, it's over 3,000. Look at tin. I mean, all, you know, the Chinese cannot hold these prices down. They just can't do it, these metal prices. But, you know, put all that to one side. I think that the market, our market, needs to see the copper price going up so that extracting companies I'm involved in particular, and of course they are all of the AIM market who is involved in copper and other markets as well, they will see that the explorers and developers are a call option to copper. And at the moment, yeah. When I step back and think, well, why is there no recognition for our company? I put it down to that not everyone is convinced of the EV story. You know, I find it ludicrous. You can't, you know, how on earth can you not be convinced when you just sit there watching telly at night and you can't get by without three adverts for the new electric car? Someone looking quite spiffy, you know, very spiffy, very, you know, BMW, Volkswagen, some lovely cars in the Japanese. So,
yeah, they haven't all spent billions to stop the process, have they? So it's going to happen.
Well, that's right. And
you know, I think the reality of the situation is that, as you say, China has been trying to manipulate the market for its own benefit. It only can do this for so long because the real economics of the situation will come to pass. And then, you know, the reality is the small cap miners have been absolutely battered. And the reality of the situation right now is that they've all been progressing their assets, and those assets are worth considerably more than the market caps that they represent across the board. This is not just about Extract or any other company. They are all severely undervalued. This is normal, though. This is what happens in the small cap market, that everything gets severely undervalued, and then it will play catch up very quickly. So do you want to be out or do you want to be in? Because if you're in, it's going to play catch up very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, you're absolutely right. There was quite a lot of money raised the first half of, not this year, last year, the year before. And that money is advanced projects in a lot of companies well along the way. And the market, when it does come out of this, will be benefiting from quite a few companies with projects which have gone the extra mile. We've got a number of projects which are advancing and have advanced. And criticize me or not, but I've taken a very robust action and it's always been my message to people I work with and our team and our management team: don't keep harping on about share price. Don't keep harping on about a terrible world. Just the things that we can control. Get stuck into them.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Because what's that Yorkshire saying? It's always darkest before dawn.
Yeah,
boy, never a truer expression.
I mean, it sounds to me like you're working all guns blazing, you know, on this project and on the projects. You know, you've delivered the goal pours. You know, the studies are done. There's been some excellent results, and you're just keeping on working and plugging away, and gonna with the mindset to deliver ultimately shareholder value, which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I must say to our partners in Manica, you know, that, you know, we've spent the last couple of years, them on one side of the fence, I guess, and us on the other, looking over the fence to see how they're doing. But we're in it together now, you know. We're producing them, we're side by side, sleeves rolled up, putting in all the protocols, because, you know, they're very enthusiastic young team, very, very capable team, our partners are. And we've got quite a bit of experience in our team at mining, grade control, and plant operations. So we're side by side. We're on the same course, because I get 23, Extract get 23% of everything they achieve. That, you know, we don't win without them, and then they don't win without us. So it's early days, but I'm delighted with the partnership and the way it's working. I'm delighted with the quality of work that they produced. It is very, very high standard. And the enthusiasm of the team and of their team takes some reckoning with. They're very, very good youngsters, and they're doing a great job.
Perfect. Well,
so I'm looking forward to Fairbride throwing out the results. I really am. Good results.
Well done, Colin. Keep plugging away. And again, once again, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Colin. Thank you, gents. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Phil. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.